Yes, yes, y'all. Welcome in to episode 174 of the Dumb Marks Podcast. It's your boys, your favorite Saturday brunch bunch, back at it again, chopping it up and giving you everything in the world of pro wrestling, from our Mount Rushmores to Jabronis of the Week. All is right in the world. I'm back in the top left square. Your boys back on top like it should be. Hold up your ones. But before we do any of the Roman Reigns, Rock, Cody Rhodes talk, because I know we'll just dive into it right away before we get to the shits and giggles. Jason, I'm going to give you your flowers, bro. You showed up last week from hosting with the questions to the Mount Rushmore and Jabroni recap. We definitely took a vote backstage, and you're going to be doing the recaps moving forward.
I don't need to.
Alex, this guy, unbelievable. Not saying nothing. No.
It's that delay.
Humbly resigned from those duties.
You can't resign before you. What are you? What was his name? Who just the coach? The Texas old head coach. No, he went to Ohio State as offensive coordinator, and
then Bill O'Brien.
Hey, Bill O'Brien, what are you, Bill O'Brien, resigning from the OC job to take a head coach elsewhere?
Or Chip Kelly, I was a head coach and now I'm an OC.
Yo, how bad is college football where they got it? Where head coaches are taking demotions because they don't want to deal with the NIL recruiting BS?
Yeah.
That's a whole separate pod we can do at another time because I got a lot of thoughts and feelings on that situation and where that landscape is going. So, yeah, Jason will send out the recap for Mount Rushmores and Jabronis. So make sure you pay attention on social media as moving forward.
Hey, don't have your heart set on it, right? Don't.
What'd you say?
Don't have your heart set on it.
Come on, bro. Pause your bitch. I'm trying to get you out there.
Everybody get their run. Everybody take their turn. And then we'll decide.
Well, at least give it a 1 month trial. It is February, okay? So at least go through, okay?
All right. You gotta give it a recap.
For the culture, for the people, okay? For the culture, you can go out there, you know, and then after your 30-day trial run, we'll see if we extend you.
When we first started talking about this, he was like, "If it's more work, nope, I'm not doing it." Nope.
Hey, welcome in. Glad you're here. I'm glad to see you were unblocked on IG from Cody Rhodes. So everything is right in pro's world. So kudos to that. Don't know what type of care package you sent to the American Nightmare to get unblocked, but I'm glad it worked out for you. So, all right. Obviously, Road to WrestleMania is hot and heavy. We're off and running. WWE held promo class on Thursday in Las Vegas because that wasn't a press conference. There was not one question asked. It was just straight promo class. Okay. Zach won. So they held their WrestleMania promo class on Thursday. Some interesting stuff, some things that went down. They got the world talking. Allegedly, there was only about 2,000 people there.
Yeah, it was filled. Like I said, when I first saw
it looked way more than 2,000 people.
Looked like half arena the way that they did it.
Apparently, they were expecting more based off of the Super Bowl crowd there being in Vegas and that. But I don't ever remember WWE holding a free open event on the road to WrestleMania before.
Nah. It was free.
They've never done it in an arena like that. They've done them outside, but
that's what I was expecting.
The only thing I can remember was like Sean and all that stuff when he got hit with the battery and the Luger Express, slamming Yokozuna, just stuff like that.
Do you remember whenever they tied up, who was it, Stone Cold into the ropes and Mike Tyson and Sean
kissed him? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like that was like one of the. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, jeez, talk on. Dang, so that ain't right. That ain't right. WrestleMania promo class. We're off and running. Obviously, the big scuttlebutt that came about was the decision made by Cody Rhodes to challenge Roman Reigns Triple H later announced the graphic online, and we have the slap heard around the world. Probably the biggest slap heard around the world since Rick James slapping the Chappelle skit.
Will keep Smith my grandfather's name out of your motherfucking mouth.
There you go. So I open the floor to you, gentlemen. Thoughts on Thursday? Thoughts on how they handled the week from last Friday SmackDown when Cody walked out of the ring to kick off last night's show, and expectations or interest in where this story is going to take us over the next 16 episodes prior to WrestleMania.
Well, I'm going to take a page from Jason, and I'm just going to enjoy it. I don't care about all the details, this and that. I'm just going to sit, watch it on screen, and just enjoy it for what it is. Because this week, I mean, it was going to be my jabroni, but I have another one. But everybody's saying, I have a source of a source. I know what's going to happen. I know this. Rock is turning heel. Rock's turning good. This match going to happen. I had to turn all the shit off because it just got to a point where it was annoying as hell.
So, somebody tweeted out, Meltzer gave 500 scenarios and not one of them came true. So I was like, oh, that's exactly what Meltzer's been doing since the freaking 80s. Like,
that's the best part. Talking about.
So
it feels bloodline-ish. You don't know what's going to happen other than Roman's going to win.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. So I'm just going to take it in as it is. I don't care what the dirt sheets or anything have to say about it. If it don't come up on screen, I don't believe it. So I'm just leaving it as that.
Very valid point, man.
Not mad at that take. You just strap in and see where the coaster takes you. I'm certainly okay with having that type of tunnel vision with it, because since we talk about it and we watch so much content each week, we oftentimes get caught up in the minutiae and don't just enjoy what we're watching for enjoyment's sake.
Yes.
So, you know, that's why we switched up the show's format from when we first started. Like, yeah, we'll give you our highs for the week and we'll give you our lows. But other than that, we're going to try to enjoy pro wrestling for pro wrestling's sake, which is why us and however many other hundreds of thousands of people talk about it on a weekly, daily, hourly basis. Right. So, yeah, I'm not mad at that take. Donald J. or Chris J.
I'm interested in seeing where this goes, because I mean, after the press conference, like it would have been nice if Triple H would at least came out, you know, and announced it at the press conference, you know, since that's what it's supposed to be. But you know, coming out last night, you know, it's fine. You know, last night I think I enjoyed what he had to say more than like what he talked about on Thursday night, you know, because it's just like, last name felt like Triple H was tying himself into the story more.
Like, did you catch the Paul Triple H Levesque?
Yeah.
Never has that man ever been referenced as Paul Triple H Levesque.
Yes.
So no. It's like, are we going okay, boss versus boss?
Talk. Wow. He got the prime bottle to match the kid's hoodie too. Like, he's already for signing day. He just showed up on signing day, Taekwon. Ain't been around for 18 years. National letter of intent. Here I am.
When I'm not around, I'm still around, man.
A lot of strays were thrown your way last week.
Well, I heard every one of them.
You watched it all too.
A lot of strays.
What I text afterwards, these motherfuckers.
So you enjoyed the promo last night. We got Triple H back and Phil. He's going to be an integral part in this moving forward.
That's what I'm interested in seeing if he is, because last night definitely made it feel like it's going to be that way. I don't know where, like, we all know he can't do anything.
Right.
You know, so it's like, it sure felt like he was going to do something, but I think we know, like, but what's his involvement going to be? That's what I'm interested in seeing now.
Jay?
I agree with everything they just said.
Rolled you right back in.
Rolled me right back in. I have no clue, and I'm enjoying it.
So I kind of went back and rewatched just the code, just the from Seth coming out to the end, right? And I got a couple other thoughts based on what they did on Thursday. But did anybody notice? And I saw some people throwing the up close zoomed in screenshot of it online. Did you see under Dwayne the Rock Johnson's name, it had High Chief listed?
No, I didn't.
Yeah.
It's, yeah.
So a little Easter egg. And then I also
so he's the High Chief, and then Roman's the head of the table. Is that how
Roman's the tribal?
Kind of like how you have like the chairman and then the CEO. Mm-hmm.
And then I also found it interesting in the clip right after when Triple H was being interviewed and Rock and Roman walk up and Rock tells Triple H, hey, you need to get this shit fixed. Talks about my family again. I'm going to slap his teeth out of his freaking mouth.
And them letting the words fly just made it feel
right,
personal and real.
But it was Rock in front, Roman behind.
Yes.
Mm. So...
Yeah. Mm-hmm. By the way, the walk was, yeah.
By the way, the walk was. And Rock talked. Roman didn't say nothing. And then Rock looked at Roman, and they walked away together. And so it's like, okay. Yeah. Just from that little interaction there, Roman, you've been talking about being the head of the table and the tribal chief for 4 years, and you got big bro. You got big brother. Son. Big brother came back after
like a half hour.
Duty. Yeah, you got big brother after his tour of duty, and he came back in like, okay, little bro, thanks for taking care of the house, but I'm back from what I had to do now. Sit down and, you know, follow along, right? Like, so I am curious because Rock, when he got off the plane, came with the tagline long gamer, and he said that on Pat McAfee's show too, long gamer. So if we're running a long game story, and not just to WrestleMania and that's it, but if we're going beyond that, then these are all little Easter eggs to eventually get Roman Rock if they're not going to pull that trigger.
But the Rock's writer, that Brian Gerwitz, he posted on Twitter, I think it was Thursday, right before, like when they got off the plane, he goes, chapter one, like now, yep. Now the fun begins. And it's like,
yep.
Yeah, so we're back on chapter one.
This is chapter one. I thought we was in the bottom of the third. You know, I thought this was the ninth inning coming up. I'm like, dang, I'm about to walk out the ballpark real soon.
Like, we don't know where the hell we're at, unless it's chapter one of the whole different book. Like, they're already starting the second book before they finish this story.
Hey, if you have, you know, you got Jay on Monday night that you can bring back in the fold at some point moving forward. Jacob Fatu is now a free agent. So if you want, not that Rock needs a muscle, but if you got Solo at Roman, you bring in Jacob Fatu and put him next to the Rock. If we're going family versus family, like, there's a lot of things that can develop out of this. And I'm not going to just throw stuff out in the universe and hope it comes true like Dave Meltzer. I think I'm going to take Donald's advice and just enjoy the ride. Like, I turned on Thursday night with no expectations. Mm-hmm. None at all. And once it was over, I was entertained, and I enjoyed my time watching what I watched. So mission accomplished there. Last night, Chris, I agree. Triple H coming out, kicking off the show, and his promo, the little taglines using the Rock's verbiage and catchphrases and everything else. Beautifully done. Now I can't wait till next Friday when Heyman shows up with both The Rock and Roman.
How many years ago has it been now? I think it's at least five that, you know, Triple H and The Rock wanted to have a match. Like, they were trying to build that to that, the two of them. It's just like,
well, you're, I mean, shame you have the whole thing with Rousey and Rock versus Triple H and Steph.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that turned into Kurt and Rousey because of Rock's schedule. So, like, they've been doing that. That was it. WrestleMania in San Francisco.
Mm. So 31?
Yes, 31.
31, jeez. I think. Yeah.
It doesn't even feel like that long.
No, it doesn't.
It did what a couple years ago when Rock came back and him and Triple H were face to face and Steph was like, you two still going at this? He was like, how long has it been? And they were like, you got to back down. No, because I stepped up. No, you got to back down. You
know? Right, right. So, No, I'm thoroughly entertained. I'm going to see where this goes. Is what Cody said talking shit about the Rock's family? No, it's not. Okay. All right. I've said way worse things to family members than what Cody said on Thursday. Right. Is it a jumping off point? Yeah. I'll take it as a jumping off point. Rock doing the crybaby Cody's and then throwing the bloodline graphic up and saying there's only one royal family. I'm like, oh.
That's when I expected Cody's music to hit.
Right. But Cody was like, nah, bleep my music. I'm going out there hot mic because this is bullshit. Mm-hmm. The only thing that I need to happen, and maybe it'll happen Monday night, I need to know what the council was.
Okay, I was just about to ask
Rock that. What did Rock originally counsel Cody with him? What did that conversation originally come to an end point to where Cody stepped aside? Because that's a big loophole in the story piece.
It is.
You don't need to know.
Or maybe we find out next Friday whenever the Rock's actually back.
You'll find out at WrestleMania.
At some point, I need to know why that happened. Right? I don't care. Did I get work? Did they swerve? Did they change plans based on fan reaction? Blah, blah, blah. I don't care. Because what they've done to this point after last Friday has been entertaining. Mm-hmm. So let it play out. Trust the process, like Cody tweeted, and the 76ers have been doing for God knows how long. Still haven't won a championship. But trust the process. Now, if they do all this and Cody loses at WrestleMania, then the entire internet is going to go up in flames.
That would be a hot week, boy.
Hey,
or a hot night. That would be
already
a hot night.
Your money. Already there got your money.
There is a percentage of me that absolutely wants that to happen.
Jason, like you said, man, like good old.
Yeah, you want you. That's why Cody's smile went off his face. He's like, I'm getting UFLs.
Like, isn't that what Shawn Michaels said about Hogan? Hey, the money's already in the pocket, so. Hey.
I mean, the Cody Crybaby's line was fantastic.
Like, yes, it was.
Look, if it doesn't happen,
are you anonymous now, Taekwon?
If it doesn't happen at Mania, guess what? Like you said, it'll burn the internet down. They're still talking.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. As long as they're talking about them, it don't matter.
It don't matter, yep. Mm-hmm. Worst segment in the world Friday, they said. We were still talking about it.
I mean, if you get the Rock to cost Cody to match at Mania and then Rock and Cody go at each other at SummerSlam, cash cow.
No, for sure.
Bringing the dollar signs. Like, so...
And then they said that they want Tony Khan to release Dustin Rhodes so he can come back and fight.
Yeah, for one night only. Yeah.
Really finish the story.
Yeah. Yeah. But he got to show up as Gold Dust.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Couple quick hitters here, and then we'll jump into Mount Rushmore. Or we'll jump into Jabroni. We're doing compliment sandwich style. So for those of you that are familiar with Family Guy, we're going positive, negative, positive, right? Talked about the positive with the press conference.
PNB.
Negatives. Not really a negative, but how is Bayley not there?
Good.
How? Good. How do you have your women's Royal Rumble winner is not there? Your the women's champ that she's challenging is not there.
You have Rhea
Bianca, who doesn't even have a match at Mania, and then you have Becky and Rhea with the face off. Spoiler alert, thanks for giving away the ending to the chamber.
I want all the disrespect for Bayley. Makes the win more sweeter. For me.
I just couldn't.
You want the redemption story.
Like, yeah, like I don't, you know.
I wanted to feel like she's an afterthought.
She wasn't even there doing like off press. Like they had like Jade was there doing press, mm-hmm. wasn't at the promo class on Thursday, but she was there doing press around Vegas for that. You know, they had other stars there doing press, but I mean, come on, like the most disrespectful Royal Rumble winner since the Women's Royal Rumble has started has been Bayley. It's unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. Keep it going.
And you think she wouldn't have been there because she's a big 49ers fan. So
people will clamp. She was there.
Bet you was.
She was there. Get the people to clamor for it. Load it up. And she went.
I mean, she got her time last night. She had time, like, you had your big segment last week.
Big segment this week. The good old setup.
But
you definitely had... felt like a setup to me last night.
Oh, it's definite setup. Come on.
Somebody who's not even on WrestleMania was there and got, what, 5 minutes?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what, like, I get Bianca is Bianca, but at the same time, like, there's no reason why her and Bayley couldn't have traded places.
I was about to say you got to promote Love and Hip Hop, but
isn't she like the female John Cena now? Like,
oh, but yeah, that was my only takeaway from the press conference, that I was like, eh. And then Becky's bottom line was just tremendous. Taekwon, I'm married to a black woman. I put, like, it's not just every month I want black women. What are we talking about?
Yeah, she said she's in February.
Oh, man. All right. Jabronis of the week. Get into some poorly touted stuff over the week. I'm gonna hold my last.
I was gonna say, Steve, me and you might be on the same wavelength for Jabroni of the week, but we'll see.
I'll go first, get mine out the way. Sting and Darby winning the tag titles just to lose it to the Young Bucks for Sting's retirement.
Maybe he goes out with the belts on top.
Dude, I was thinking that. I was like, Tony loves a tournament. So Sting keeps the titles and got to relinquish the belts. Got to have a tag title tournament.
Maybe Sting gives
new titles.
Maybe Sting gives the belt to Danhausen since him and Darby have the same color face paint. And he just takes Sting's role.
I swear, like, this last, like, half year of wrestling just been, oh yeah, you didn't win this title. You know what? We're going to mark it off on your check it off on your resume. There's been a lot of that lately.
Now, whether it's true or not, I saw a thing this week that Sting said that he didn't want the titles. I guess he was pushing to not have it. But
he didn't want them. He didn't want them.
You know. He didn't want them to take a loss on his record. Check the analysis. Come on.
The titles aren't needed in the story. The story Sting's retirement. He doesn't need them. Right. I feel storyline piece looking at it, adding the belts is a way for this evil EVP gimmick the Bucks are running, like, to push that agenda further than more giving Sting a belt just to give Sting a belt. Like, it's like, oh, we're the EVPs and, you know, we say we're going to fight from the bottom to get to the top of the rankings and get our match and earn it, but actually we're just going to put ourselves in a match because we're the EVPs. So, like, you can hate us for that. Like, yeah. I feel like that's more of why the tag titles are involved in this situation.
It makes it a little bit more – put something more on the line other than the retirement for – because I think that's going to be the main event of the night.
I wouldn't be shocked if they did do that as the main event, and I'm okay with that being the main event.
Yeah.
See if you finally get your tag title matches as a main event for a pay-per-view.
Not the tag title main event that I wanted.
But love
Jody that. Connor was listening to you.
But just like I said with the bloodline thing, hey, I'm not going to believe anything unless it's on screen, and it's on screen, so I'm believing that. So tag titles for no reason were put on him.
It is for no reason. 100%.
I mean, I really enjoyed Wednesday night's match. Like, I thought Big Bill looked fantastic. The spots were creative. You know, the way Darby put him through the table off the ring apron, I thought was hilarious after Big Bill just jansported him up the steps and across the ring for Darby to rake his eyes and fall through the table. The dive into the black hole slam was a really good spot. I thought Starks was obviously Starks, like him and Big Bill, as much as I didn't want them two together as a tag team, I really enjoy them as a pairing. I think they're really good. I think both guys are above being a tag team, and they can easily both be in the main event picture. But I'm not going to hate on the match itself. I thought it was good. I thought the beatdown afterwards was good. You know, the visual of the red blood on the white suits. And then them wearing this.
Wearing it on Rampage.
Yeah, wearing it on Rampage. So wear them all the way to Revolution and come out and have your ring gear.
That would be hilarious there.
That's a little nasty.
Bum ass.
All right. So we got Donald Cerrone, Sting and Darby winning the belts. Jay?
I know the IWC giving death threats to Ava Rain is ridiculous. Like, that's when you take wrestling too real. That's when it's
crybabies.
There you go. One chicken nugget. it's not that serious, man.
No, it's not.
No.
It's
not.
And you know what else is just like, that's, we've seen that happen before with stuff, but like it was taken to the extreme this week. And then the people, as soon as the Cody crybaby line went off, and I watched it live, and I popped so hard. But then you just have everybody and their mother like going after everybody, and it's like, yo, did you not listen to what the man said? He said you have Cody fans who are great, and they're fans of Cody and tremendous. You have the man himself, Cody, who he respects and admires, and then you have the crybabies that take it to the extreme. No, I don't want to get laid. No, I'm going to send death
threats to my
daughter. He didn't lump Cody's entire fan base is crybabies, but because you just heard Cody crybabies, you want to hop on your keyboards and just immediately start attacking, like and raise the army flag and start.
And David said it twice.
Rebecca called an emergency podcast and went on for 15 minutes about being a Cody crybaby.
And Rock mentioned it twice. When he said that he liked the Cody fans, Cody and the crybabies, he mentioned it twice, and people still didn't get it.
Fans out there have to tell you that they want you to die in order for you to get over? Because, you know, 30 years ago it was die, Rocky, die. Now everybody's like telling her that she needs to die. It's
like, well, how do you go after
the fans and saying that to these people?
How do you go after his daughter who has nothing to do with it? Yeah. A female. Someone you go after the man himself.
It's too easy.
That's when the FBI steps in.
Maybe that's what it is.
Too big a name.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was on my Jabroni list this week until some other stuff happened. So yeah, that the death threats against his daughter just ridiculous. To the point where she literally shut down and logged off. So
good for her for doing it.
Yeah.
All right, Chris, what do you got?
I gotta put not TNA, but Anthem in the Jabroni spot for the week.
Yep, absolutely.
I mean, firing Scott D'Amore, like, just like everything else this week, there's been millions of different stories out there. Everybody has a different take on what happened with Scott D'Amore, why he got fired. You know, I'm sure at some point Scott will come out and talk about it, you know, or somebody will talk about it. But you have everybody doing this stuff. Just you have Scott building up TNA, kind of relaunching everything the past year. And right as it's getting started, that's when you let him go.
Yeah, you know, rumor and innuendo, he went with an offer to buy TNA that was a legitimate offer with backing and everything else. Anthem thought about it and then said no. Then rumor was they were at odds over increasing the budget for TNA, and D'Amore wanted more budget. Anthem didn't want to give more of a budget, even though back at the end of 2023, we heard they were going to put more money into the show for better production value and everything else.
Yeah, so that's what you guys said.
What numbers, you know, weren't they happy with from a budget standpoint.
Then there was just Anthem once that more incorporated in Anthem instead of being its own thing.
Yeah, and then it was D'Amore's too big of a face, and it's all about him, but it needs to be about us, and it's just.
But he was the president of the company. You know, it's like.
So he should be the face.
Yeah.
The momentum. Like, I don't think there's been a bigger halt in momentum besides the Detroit Lions not getting the fourth down conversion against San Francisco. The TNA just put on themselves this week. Just absolutely halted all momentum. Now, I listened to Dreamer on Busted Open, him and LaGreca talking about it, and Tommy's there. He's still a part of TNA, and, you know, he's like, hey, listen, like, it's almost like we're in a divorce. We're the kids in a divorce, right? Like, mom and dad split. Dad said, it's okay. You can still stay with mom, live with mom. Nothing's going to change with us, but I'm going to go over here now and do something else. And you can see that happening. Like, they're stuck. The talent's stuck between a rock and a hard place because you just lost your biggest supporter and your biggest advocate and the person that wore TNA on the sleeve more than anybody else, who brought the three-letter brand back. But at the same time, even though he's gone now, you can't fold up shop because then everybody loses their job.
Yeah.
So what do you do in that situation?
I'm interested to seeing, does creative stay? You know, I don't know everybody that's in charge of creative. I know we got Tommy. I know we got Gale, and I know we got Lance Storm. But do they stick around? You know, does Anthem change things up with them? You know, or are they going to start, even if it is a budgetary thing, are they going to start going at the talent now? You know, are they going to release talent or do whatever?
So Dreamer said there's 65 wrestlers under contract to TNA right now. Doesn't include production, office people, etc. Just 65 talent. Okay. Rumor, again, was after the phone call, the Zoom call that they had where talent wasn't allowed to ask questions and they just read off the statement and then the call was over. You know, Dreamer said anybody that wants their release, you can have that conversation with the company separate and work that out and see what happens. I don't know how many, I don't know if we'll get a huge mass exodus. Like, you know, it's not going to be like Alabama where Nick Saban leaves and then everybody enters the transfer portal. But at the same time, you can't afford to lose too much more of your nucleus.
Yeah.
Like if you get a Josh Alexander and a Jordan Grace to say, yo, I want out, I'm done.
That's huge.
Yeah, that is.
That's crushing.
Mm-hmm.
You got
those are two people you built the brand around the past few years.
Especially with Jordan being on Royal Rumble. Yeah.
Say what you will about ex-WWE talent coming in, but if you got Nick Nemeth and Mustafa Ali going, hey, listen, cool.
We've been through this before.
I'm done. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ali's going to continue his world tour. Nemeth's going to say, all right, I'm going back to New Japan. I don't need this. Like, okay, that's taking those fans that are coming in to watch TNA because they like those individuals that – may not normally watch TNA. Like,
they got what? No Surrender in 2 weeks. So something tells me that that's probably where they'll have the talent, like an actual like question and answer type session. You know, let them hear their grievances. And
we'll anybody that's worked in corporate America before will tell you, hey, listen, you get an email and that's it.
That's it. Yeah. You get the memo.
You don't get questions asked. You don't get answers. You get nothing. Hey, this structure and leadership has changed. This person is no longer with the company. This is the new president, and
work
get back on the clock and do your work.
Yep.
Like, so, all right, now we have to get back on the clock and do our work. Like, I don't want, you know, the hashtag, the more trended damn near as much as Cody last week, for as long as Cody did. I don't want the fans to boycott TNA because that doesn't – you're not going to get D'Amore back in.
No.
Yeah.
And all that's going to do is hurt the talent that's there that you like watching on a weekly basis. So the show on Thursday night was a good show. They've continued to be consistent in what they put out on a week-to-week product-wise. But now it's like I almost feel like this is a bigger rallying cry for the TNA fan base to go, okay, now we're going to support the wrestlers and back them to make this successful, even though they got rid of dad.
Mm.
You know, or mom, except however you want to look at the divorce. But to fire your number one over what seems like to be just bureaucratic BS.
Yeah. The normal stuff you talk about, you know.
Like, I was shocked when I was expecting some dirt to come out when y'all sent that, just because of what everything was going on in the atmosphere now. I was expecting dirt. That's how shocked it was to see him get released.
Steve, I know you'll get this reference, but one of the things I thought of on Thursday after it happened was on Ted Lasso, there was a scene where, you know, like whenever like the team's getting starting to come together and Rebecca looked at the team and was just like, that's a team united. And it's just like, that's what Scott's done, you know, especially we've seen it the past few months, especially since TNA was announced that it's returning. But these people would live and die for him and the brand. You know, for everything he's done. So that's a tough situation with talent.
You got the AAA partnership. Like, you got you had things cooking. You know, you just had Okada in. Ali and Nemeth, for what they are, those are very good TNA signings.
Yeah.
They pushed to sign Punk, and Punk didn't sign there. They allegedly pushed to sign Mercedes and had talks with her. She didn't sign there, which is fine. They're not like the Pirates and not doing anything, right? Yeah. They're going out there and they're trying to get those people, to get those big names. Great. Awesome. Now what? Because you have differences in vision and direction, you kick out the only guy that kept the three letters alive for as long as it's been to where it came back. And now you're forcing talent to swallow that pill.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them wouldn't have careers and jobs if it wasn't for D'Amore. D'Amore believed in them when nobody else would and got them to sign with TNA.
I saw, I think it was Lance Storm said in an interview this week that even though everybody talks about TNA's ratings, but he goes, TNA is what gets the most ratings on the network. He goes, so we're the program that brings in a lot of the revenue that keeps the network alive, you know, and keeps things going and all the publicity on there. So it's like, again, you fired a person that was getting the promotion hotter and hotter. So
right.
It makes no sense.
Right.
But so we'll see what this guy does. You know, if time will tell if it's a good decision or a bad decision.
Now, Dreamer did say that he's worked with him in the past. He is familiar with wrestling as a product. He's been a fan of wrestling throughout his life. So, like, you know, allegedly this guy's – he's as far as a businessman-wise, he's a good businessman. So we'll see if you can happen. We got to get the – you can't lose a corner of the foundation and not replace it because the house is going to fall in.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you rebuild the foundation? Who do they put there – to at least stabilize the house from coming in until you can get that foundational piece built back up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be what, as well as watching the product, but that's going to be what I'm interested in for TNA moving forward here in the next couple months, to see how they structure the foundation, who they put where, what people step up in a leadership role to replace D'Amore, creative, etc., what talents leave, what talents stay, like all those things, to see if they're able to get it to where, you know, they can continue riding the wave that they built up over these first, you know, month and a half since TNA came back.
I think it was on the press release that they sent out, and it said that one of like the his big things that he's done in his career was getting WWE on the score in Canada. So it's like, if that's his thing, is that, you know, he does these TV deals, you know, I know like Santino Marella came out recently and think said that he thinks that TNA will get on a bigger network at some point. Is, you know, because he works for Anthem, is he going to just push more for Anthem to keep the programming, or is he going to look at the big picture and be like, okay, we can branch it out somewhere else?
Right. Like I said, it's interesting. TNA's been through too many lives, but yeah. You know, yeah. Like a black cat that has 9 lives, I think they've used 7 or 8 of them. So is this going to be the one that actually takes them out? I hope not, but we'll see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and just because he's a businessman and a fan of wrestling, you know, sometimes that don't work out. Or and look fan. At AEW. Look at AEW. You have a guy who's a businessman.
He's not the fan of wrestling. In the show. He's not the fan.
That is true.
Yeah.
All right. Those are your jabronis of the week this week. Hit us up. Let us know what you thought absolutely was the drizzling shits in the week that was pro wrestling this week and compare it to what we gave you guys here. Mount Rushmore time. Let's go. Positive Pete. Where we at, Mount Rushmore? How you guys feeling? What you guys enjoy from this week in pro wrestling?
Trick and Ilya in Vengeance Day. Hell of a match. The storytelling in it was great. And finally, we got the whole Mello and Trick breakdown. But the match itself, phenomenal. I was very, very impressed with both of them.
I originally had NXT on my jabroni list for the beginning part of that show.
The Vengeance Day?
No. Tuesday night. The follow-up to Vengeance Day. Mello coming out just with the worst jacket possible, dragging the chair, getting in the ring and saying, not yet. Okay, cool. I'm okay with that. Then you had Braun and Corbin cut their promo to be interrupted by Axiom and Nathan Frazer, who had a match. And then the Wolf Dog stayed on commentary to get in the ring, to jump them afterwards, to have the family come out to set up the title match next week. That was just stupid logic. And then you had Ilya come out and call out Mello. Mello doesn't show up, and Ilya's like, I'm going to go back and find you and say what I need to say to your face. For Mello to turn around and come right back out through the NXT parking lot to come in the ring and cut his promo, but Ilya doesn't show up at all. So if you were looking for Mello and couldn't find Mello, Mello didn't want to come out, but Mello's in the ring cutting a promo for 5 minutes telling about why he attacked Trick. Why'd you Damian Priest yourself and not come out?
Well, you did have that bum-ass Dijak come in and... his own.
Character-wise, dumbass. Wrestler-wise, Dijak is not a dumbass. Dijak can flat out go in the ring. Him and Joe Gacy with that no DQ match was... And like we said on the prediction show last week, put Dijak on a PLE, he's going to deliver.
He's going to perform. That's why I'm going to piggyback off Dawn, and Vengeance Day as a whole was my Mount Rushmore. The whole show. Nothing missed for me. Storyline, matches, I enjoyed. Even the stuff I figured I would hate, Dijak Gacy, OTM versus the family, I enjoyed it. When they put on PLEs, they deliver.
I will give OTM credit. Okay, stereotypes aside. Right. Coming out to the ring on the bicycles, don't need that. Okay, just feeding more into it.
Yeah.
But they I think Saturday night watching them, it showed that they're different in the ring.
No, it's actually the light skinned one is not believable. I agree with you. The one is a wrestler. The other dude, I don't know what he is. They took a tight end and put some
I was telling Jason, Jada Parker should be with the Hurt Business with the way her style is.
But they they're different in the ring from what everything else on that show. They're different. Like, you look at them, you watch them, they're different, which is a good thing because they stand out because they're different. Now, can they take that and improve on it and get better as time goes on? Yeah, will both of them do that? Nah, I don't know. But the fact that they have something different whenever you see them in the ring is only a positive for them. So I will give them credit, even though I just absolutely hate the characters. Yeah.
And that women's match, I enjoyed every part of it. When Lola came out, I was like, okay, what the hell's going on? She came out and she delivered. She hung with him. I was like, okay, y'all done sold me on this. Now I want to see her and I want to see her in the title mix now.
Yeah, now you're getting her and Roxanne. So yeah, my next team is a solid card.
Yeah.
Solid card. All right, so we got two for NXT there. Donald, I thought you were going to go with the Yes Boys Pretty Deadly vignette from last night. when he held up them taped up fingers, like, man, these guys. It's like, hey, Lizzie, that cloud does look like Lizzie.
They could be it every week for me, but I had other people deserve a spot.
And then Pete Dunay was just... Pete Dunay, like,
hope that sticks.
All right, Chris, what do you got? Mount Rushmore.
I'm going with Explosion from yesterday. A couple really good matches on Explosion yesterday. Probably the best matches. It's only been a couple weeks that's been back, but you had Jake something versus Shira. Steve, that's your big meaty men match of the week. They didn't disappoint with that. And then you had your X Division showcase. You had Laredo Kid versus Jay Vidal. So
yeah,
nice big man match, nice X Division match. They both complimented each other on the program. And really like both those matches.
Explosion is the replacement for Before the Impact, which used to air prior to Impact. So, yeah.
I don't know
if Explosion is the greatest name for a show. But if you type Explosion in Google and you type Drake in Google, you get two different images. Drake is more of the extra rated stuff compared to Explosion. Mine was a toss-up this week. I was thinking about doing WWE as a whole just from Monday through Friday because I thoroughly enjoyed all 3 hours of Raw. Thursday night I was entertained, and last night I was entertained.
Yeah.
But I'm like, I'm not going to give them that much credit.
It's Mania week. Mania build-up.
Mania. It's Road to WrestleMania.
Yeah.
It's Road to Elimination Chamber right now.
So I got 1A, 1B. One's a promo and one's in ring. So I thought Gunther on Monday night was absolutely tremendous. The man just flat out is everything you want in a superstar.
He gets it.
He absolutely gets it. Plays to the crowd. Built Jay up and also tore him down. Like, just, you know, everything about it was tremendous. I love Pat McAfee up on the table, you know, bouncing the hands of Jay like he used to do for Nakamura.
I missed that.
Yeah, he was all up on the table like he used to do for Nakamura. And then when Nakamura came out, Pat was just sitting in his chair. So it's like, he got a new love.
Nakamura's a heel. Can't be doing that for a heel, right?
Right. Kayfabe's alive, brother.
Yeah.
I thought Gunther was tremendous. I said on the show last week, why not Jay? Why not Jay for the IC belt? Whether or not we'll get it at Mania, I don't know, because rumor is they're still plotting to do Jimmy versus Jay at Mania. You got Elimination Chamber coming up, and you can run it there. But I thought Gunther was tremendous. And then Swerve and Hangman on Wednesday.
Yes.
30-minute draw. Do I love the draw aspect of it? No. Does it make sense that Swerve was number one on the rankings? Hangman was two, but Hangman said you had to beat me to get the shot. So no extra overtime for you, buddy. They rolled out the ring. Like, that makes sense.
That makes sense at all.
But the match itself, like those two,
it makes
sense. We talk about like your Rock, Stone Cold, Bret, Shawn, like finding those types of rivalries and matchups.
They have chemistry with each other.
Those two flat out are picture perfect for them. And did they do a full double turn in that match? Maybe. I don't know. Hangman might have to grow his mustache out a little bit longer to be considered a heel. But those two absolutely tore the house down.
They didn't wrestle a lot like before this, right? Did at all, because like Swerve wasn't in Ring of Honor while Hangman was there or anything. So it's like to have this chemistry just in AEW is pretty unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it was a good in-ring story, which Swerve touched on in an interview. He said, you know, say what you will about AEW not doing stories. When we're doing matches, we're telling in-ring stories. And I'm like, I haven't heard that take from an AEW wrestler before. But then I watched Wednesday night, because that interview came out Wednesday during the day. I watched that Wednesday night, and I'm like, and it absolutely made sense. Now, does that apply to everybody? I don't know.
No.
But
Swerve, did this man kidnap somebody?
What'd you say?
Did this man kidnap somebody?
He broke into Hangman's house.
Yeah. Talking about story? You broke into Hangman's house? You went to Nick Wayne's house? You kidnapped badass Billy Gunn?
No, he was more saying that like the fan reaction, the negative fan reaction to AEW is they don't tell stories, they just book random matches. And he's like, while we do have stories, and he listed off different people and stories and everything else, he goes, the matches themselves, they're telling stories through the matches. So they may not be just as one-off as it may seem. And a lot of times the matches are randomly booked and then it ties into something 6-7 months later, because AEW likes to recall stuff that you have to go back a year and a half to remember. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So,
you know how much I have WWE in the brain on this run? I was expecting a tag team. I was expecting a match.
Swerve and Hangman.
I wanted to see it.
You had that already with that. I mean, you had that already MJF with MJF and Cole. Yeah. They just ran that.
This is what they wanted MJF and Cole to be, not the blossoming best friends stuff.
Somebody's got to take the tag belts off of the Young Bucks at some point, right?
Yeah. But no, Swerve and Hangman were tremendous. And then I thought it was beautifully done with the promo by Joe to cap it off.
Yes.
Like, yo, you're two mediocre bum ass dudes didn't beat each other, and now you get rewarded with a championship match against me. That don't make no sense.
Good, yeah.
But just because of that, I'm gonna make both y'all hurt. I don't want Joe to lose the belt because Joe's tremendous.
No.
I feel if Swerve is gonna win, I need it to be one on one, so Swerve gets his actual moment in a one on one match.
I'm thinking Hangman gonna eat the pin, for Joe gonna win. Hangman eat the pin. Then Swerve gonna be like, I didn't take the pin, so I'm still number one contender.
Double or nothing.
Yeah, but yeah, I thought that whole first 30-40 minutes of the show Wednesday night
was good. Fun. Yes. Yes, it was.
In-ring promo and cap it off. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'm sold with everything they did during that.
Only story I'm sold on for AEW.
There were some questionable things, but it's like that across the board. So
true.
Kudos to R-Truth for keeping his gimmick alive last night on SmackDown. Goddamn national treasure. Like Nick. No, not Nick Mysterio. No, Nick Aldis.
We came out on Monday. I get it. It was initiation.
Yeah, yeah. So that was the real jumping. I'm officially in now, right? Shut shoving the shirt on shoving the shirt on top of Dominic and then JD the wad full of money. Like
I could be wrong on the number here, but I think I saw a thing this week online that said that R-Truth, counting like the 24/7, is a 59-time champion.
59-time champion.
I talk about the Ric Flair, you know, number, you know, but
yeah,
it's not true.
I did like how Priest was like, "All right, man, just have your moment. Go ahead, enjoy the clubhouse, bro." Yeah. So good. If this leads to Miz and R-Truth winning tag team titles at WrestleMania, I think I'll pop. Even though it'll just be like you want to talk about giving belts just to give belts, Don. That you know, Sting and Darby, like Miz and Truth.
Truth needs a win. I'll give him the WrestleMania win. You know.
I would like to see R-Truth get in Elimination Chamber and act like it's the Rumble. Get thrown over the top.
Trying to throw somebody up.
but lands on the grate and said, "I ain't get eliminated, dog." Feet never touched the floor.
What he did, Rumble, Money in the Bank, Rumble as a tag match this year. So, yeah.
That moment chamber. In the Rumble was, I still laugh about that. And Dom buying in and giving him the hot tag. All right. Anything else Mount Rushmore, Jabroni-wise, or just pro wrestling in general before we roll up on a game?
Real quick, your thoughts on WWE Speed. They just officially rolled that out. Sustainable?
Yeah. It's a two-year deal, I believe I saw. They'll be showing matches live on X, aka Twitter. They'll be 5 minutes or less. So all your main event matches, you know, they WWE released a little video of Cedric Alexander. I'm gonna say Cedric Alexander. Sean DD Adonis as a new tag team, so they'll be specifically just shown on Speed.
So that's where he's at.
Well, we'll put tag matches on Speed.
Yeah.
You get one tag. That's it. You get the hot tag, and that's all you got.
Jason, I'm just asking you this week where Sean DD Adonis is. You just seen him roll with Nick on his office. You got potential, and that was it.
Yeah. He's in a tag team with Alexander now. They just showed that, you know. So, I don't know. It'll be interesting, right? When do they show the matches? You know, are they going to be once a week, twice a week? How often? What time of day do they get released? Like, what account do you need to follow to see them? Like, how is all that going to work? Taquan is going after Ricochet this whole part. I don't know because Ricochet is with Samantha Irvin. I don't know what it is.
I don't know. Yeah. You got a lot of hate. A lot of hate for Ricochet.
So yeah, it will be interesting. Hey, it's the new medium, right? Mm-hmm. Like we saw CBS, ESPN, and Fox Sports announced this week that they're collaborating for a new streaming platform for, you know, sports moving forward. That'll be unlike anything else that we've ever seen from a sporting rights standpoint, and you know what type of access you'll have and all that. So that's another subscription that you'll have to pay for. We see WWE moving to Netflix. You know,
I saw someone post that they think it's talked about being over 30 right now.
30. They talk about 30. Yeah.
Over.
Yes, age package.
Ain't that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bro, that's more than the ASPCA commercials they be putting out. 59 cents a day, you can save these dogs.
Is that how they're going to market it? Only a dollar a day, you can watch sports. 25
I've that out the Founders Hospital commercial. Like, yeah. See, you got ASPCA, Shriners, and then WWE. Hey, for 99 cents a day, you can watch Raw, SmackDown, and NXT, and then ESPN, and then we'll follow back up. Hey, for $1.25 a day, what's that? Starbucks. Hey, for $1.75 a day, you get a venti frappuccino. Like, what are we doing here?
We'll send you this football blanket so you can use while you watch.
Yeah.
Dirty. That is, yeah, right.
But what does that do to like ESPN Plus? Like, how, like, does that go away?
No, Disney said that they're still launching their own separate ESPN service in 2025.
Everybody's keeping everything. You got to pay like $50 a month just for everything.
I don't know if it's true, but they were saying Amazon Prime was going to have the exclusive rights to the playoffs.
They said one playoff game. One game again, just like Peacock.
That makes two playoffs.
Yep.
That's two games.
That makes two.
Next thing you know, you can't watch the playoffs. You win the wild card round. That's it. You got to pay.
People like, yeah, everything else is going to be on that new app.
But they asked. They asked, I know this isn't wrestling, but they did ask Goodell because he gave his State of the League address on Tuesday. But they did ask him, hey, what's the possibility of having a streaming-only Super Bowl and opening up the bids for one of these platforms to stream the Super Bowl based on you doing a playoff game on Peacock? And he's like, well, I don't see it going that route because, you know, there's going to be 200 million people watching this game on Sunday. Like, and a lot of that is based on linear television. But –
he doesn't see it happening until that check comes in.
Right.
Nick Khan on speed dial. Tell me how it's done, Nick Khan.
So, I don't know. What's, like, this is fascinating stuff.
And I would say that. I would say that like 10 years ago, the Super Bowl, you're going to pay for that soon.
It'll bleed in the wrestling.
It'll bleed in the wrestling. Just wait till you get to the point whenever you got to pony up, like, UFC events.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hey, you want to watch? You want to watch the Steelers this Sunday? $7.99.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Especially against like a rivals or something. Steelers of Steelers Ravens, $10.99.
Yo, he said Goodell said their NFL package that used to be on DirecTV, it was up 400% on YouTube this year, and they were charging damn near $400 for that. They were giving you a $50
coupon.
$349.99.
$50 coupon.
You want to pay for sports? They're trying to charge you hourly for games. I'm going to go back to reading books, man. I'm going to just be free.
Long Jason, did you watch the NBA game last night? No, I was watching Long Shot for Paul. I read Long Shot for Paul. He, you know, a little kid shooting, taking his first three-pointers. Great story. Tremendous.
Go back to the old days and just listen to the radio. Dog it. Just listen to the radio.
Yeah, your sister needs to pay you for the rights for this video to promote the library. That's what she's
doing. Yeah, that's it. I'm just going to listen to the radio or read about it in the paper tomorrow.
Yeah. All right. So the game that I had originally planned has taken a little bit of a hit based off of the news that came out this week. But we're into the speculating business here a little bit. And, you know, unlike Meltzer, we're not going to say any of this is going to happen. So let's play a little game of what if.
Nostradamus.
So allegedly we saw the blurry pictures of Bigfoot, aka Triple H, at Hard to Kill, there up in the suites, and we saw Jordynne Grace show up at the Rumble. So what if WWE and TNA partner up for more than just that Rumble appearance? What is the first match you're booking in the TNA WWE crossover? Open board, women, men, tag team, don't matter. What's the very first match you're booking on that card?
First one that came to mind for me was Josh Alexander, AJ Styles.
That's not a bad one.
Yeah. Have new TNA, old TNA.
So,
almost all my matches are Josh Alexander, though.
Josh Alexander, Cody.
Would this be a one-off?
Would you say?
Would this be a one-off?
Just your printing door S pay per view type deal. Just if you're booking one, if you got the pencil to book one match on the card, women, tag team, men, don't matter. What's that one match you're booking between a TNA superstar and a WWE superstar?
If it's that, I'm going Grace and Bianca.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm doing tag, Motor City Machine Gun versus the Usos.
I was thinking that too.
I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing ABC against the Usos.
Mm-hmm. That'd be good. Alexander Gable.
Give me a 60-minute Iron Man match.
Great.
I mean, I can go through my list of who I think Alexander could wrestle in WWE.
Give me Trey Miguel and Dom Mysterio.
I need Trey and Ricochet. Just pinball all over the goddamn place.
It would.
Yeah, that would be. Alexander Gunther.
He's got the Alexander line.
Yeah.
Alexander this, Alexander Roman, Alexander Seth.
I don't have him against, I have him against like all like the people that can really go in the ring. Like, mm-hmm. I was thinking like the Tyler Bates, the Pete Dunne's.
Give me Moose and Omos. No, I'm trying to figure somebody to put Moose against. I was Moose and Gunther. Does it just do that? You got to have Gunther on your list, and you got to have Josh Alexander on your list.
Yeah, I mean, no, Alexander Gunther was like my immediate yes, please. But no, I'm like, give me Moose and Roman. It's a different style match.
Mm-hmm.
But I would be interested to see how that plays out.
Maybe Moose and I mean, it's different styles, but I'm just trying to think of like backgrounds. Maybe Moose and Braun. You know, two football guys, you know, that just beat the shit out of people in the ring.
I mean, we've already seen it because he was in TNA before, but you got Moose and Bronson Reed, and those two absolutely crushed it whenever they had their match in TNA.
Is Hammerstone officially signed?
No.
He's not officially signed.
Okay. No, right now it looks just to be a one-off.
Okay. Jordan Grace is obviously, but I wouldn't mind seeing I wouldn't mind seeing Masha Slamovich and Bianca go at it.
Mm-hmm.
Give me Bailey and Marsha.
See, I went Grace against Bailey.
Okay.
Give me Marsha and or Grace against Rhea.
Give me a PCO versus a returning Kane because they both can't die.
Inferno match. Inferno. You know it could be good if you got Naomi and Jordan versus Kabuki Warriors. Could be a good tag match.
I wonder about I mean, Jordan said she flat out wants to wrestle Natalya.
Okay.
After her Rumble appearance, that's who she said she'd like to get in the ring with.
I don't know if they have, like, not like on TV. I know they have it on TV, but I don't know if they, if Jordan's done the dungeon at all with Natalya. Because that could be good. If they've at least kind of sparred a little bit, that could be a really good match.
I wouldn't mind seeing like a like Tasha Steeles and like a Roxanne Perez or Tasha and Tiffany Stratton.
Tasha can go in the
Rich Swann and Dragon Lee.
forgot about Swan.
Dorito Kid and Dragon Lee would be good too. Yeah. Same styles. Or Mike Bailey, Dragon Lee.
Bailey and Ricochet.
Yeah. Bailey and Dawn.
We get a Zachary Wentz versus Wes Lee.
Wasn't thinking of that. Wasn't thinking of Wes.
Yeah. So
long term storytelling.
Just a little.
Yeah, that is. Yeah, that would be long term storytelling.
Just a little what if fantasy there. Yeah. So, you know, don't know if they'll actually end up doing something or not, but, you know, it's there. And we'll see
if they're smart, they will be still, but
how that plays out.
Different regime now, so
yeah.
Well, who knows? It could have been The Rock came in and said, "I want D'Amore fired before I work with TNA," and that could be why D'Amore fired.
Conspiracy theory.
I hadn't seen that one online yet.
Now that you said it, it will be online.
Welcome.
Clip it.
Clip it. All right. Any other contenders here before we wrap up this week's episode?
Said the boy was a Cody crybaby, so. No, I'm good.
Speaking of Cody crybabies, the Cody crybabies came out in droves, obviously, but they came out in droves to the point where Cody had 7 of the top 10 selling shirts in WWE. Right now. 7 out of 10. My man don't got to wrestle. He don't got to wrestle another match this year. And he's gonna
make millions of dollars. So you're saying they're a t-shirt company?
Yeah.
Yeah. Plus, was it true saying that he was a Swiftie and all the Swifties were out and about for him?
Yeah. Drew McIntyre's CM Punk or DM Hunk is what tremendous. Absolutely tremendous.
Drew is killing it. Drew is killing it.
His little 2-minute video of him walking down the street promo that he cut on his Twitter on Friday after the announcement, thanking Cody, way to step up, grow some balls, finish your story. Like, it was tremendous. But when he said DM Hunk last night, I lost it.
I don't believe you bought that shirt. That is the worst rendition of a meme I've ever seen. Mm.
That's what
they said. What he said, top three? He said the top three?
Yeah, he was number 4 on the list, but that came out a couple days ago. So okay. He may be top 3 right now. But yeah, just absolutely tremendous. It's just the jailhouse pose that he gives.
Who's going to be the first one on the show to wear that shirt?
Me.
You've never seen me. I have a McIntyre shirt. Damn.
They got CM Punk in the name, so it's not going to be wearing a shirt with me.
Right, right. All right. Anything else before we wrap up the show?
I'm good.
Wear it in front of Punk. Yeah, absolutely. I thought Punk was tremendous on the promo conference, class that they cut on Thursday.
Afterwards,
he's like, somebody slaps me in the mouth. I'm punching them right back. You got to punch people back in the mouth. I'm like, this dude is just flat out.
On the mic.
On the mic. Like,
the way the Rock was walking around in the back, it looked like you sounded like you heard him. I was just envisioning another story.
Yeah, he's like, who wants to see me punch the Rock in the face?
Yeah, the way they were standing up on that entrance, Jason.
Sound like they could hear.
They're walking through. They're walking through here. Roman and Rock were both staring.
And again, Paul Heyman stole the show.
The faces.
The picture of him when The Rock slaps Cody and his face is just tremendous.
It's been even his promo before they started. When he was talking to Saxon in the back, it's like, this man got me hyped. We used to hate Paul Heyman.
He's the man.
Yes, he is.
Yeah, tremendous. All right. Well, that's this week's episode. 174 Dumb Marks Podcast. Trust the process. As always, hit us up on social media at Dumb Marks Pod. Email the show at dumbmarkspod@gmail.com. Head on over to prowrestlingtees.com/dumbmarkspod. Merch will give you a live shout out on air. Anything else that I left off before we give the quote of the week?
Do your thing. Nope.
All right, this week's quote of the week goes to the Cody Crybabies. You can't always have a good day, but you can always face a bad day with a good attitude. You can't always have a good day, but you can always face a bad day with a good attitude. And until next time, I'm a Mark, you're a Mark Telemark. Y'all can catch us around the way.